Bruchim Abayim to the seventh in the series of Shiurim on the section of the Meir Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, that is dealing with the Tameh HaMitzvahs. This is a fundamental section of the Meir Nevuchim. And in the last time we, we began chapter 29, and there the Rambam is detailing Avraham Avinu's mission in the world, was in fact actually to advance the position of monotheism. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam, I believe that I left off on page 524 in the Schwartz edition, which is Perachov Tes, on the second paragraph, and there the Rambam says, "Kivar bi'anu b'chibirenu ha'godol mishna Torah." We've already explained in our Magnus Open the Mishnah Torah. Shavam Avino hechel soiser as a deus aela betanois of a clear rafa a yede ritzoi anoshim or mishichosom lucius bemzos maise chesekla payim. In other words, Avram Avino began to refute the claims of paganists in his times, and the Rambam here emphasizes that he did it in a rather gentlemanly way. He says betanois of a clear rafa with a soft voice. Aideritzoi hanoshim. He tries, in fact, actually to win people over to his position. Umishichasim letzius bemtzois maisi chesed klapei. He also did acts of generosity, of righteousness, of piousness towards other people. So, in other words, Avraham Avinu basically, his approach was very, very much. A soft approach in which he tried to reason with people and try to act in a charitable ways towards people. However, it goes on the Rambam and says, "V'kasher nitna nevuah la'adin ha'neviim." However, when prophecy was given to the Adin ha'neviim, of course, the Adin ha'neviim is always the Rambam refers to that as that's always Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Who hishlim es ha'matara. He completed the mission. V'tziva l'haroik es halalo. But he completed the mission in a rather violent way by actually commanding to kill those people who were pagans. L'mchois es ikvoiseyem, to wipe out their footsteps. V'la'ako oisam and asheres, to uproot them from their roots. It's very, very interesting that the Rambam here is giving us an interesting juxtaposition, a contrast between Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, before we go back here, I just want to point out that in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam, in fact, actually in Parak Aleph, the Rambam details the Kriya, in other words, of Avraham Avinu in the world, and of course he speaks about that. In Malachi Gimel, he speaks about that he began to raise questions, began to argue with people. And he speaks about that the first he was put in jail, etc., etc. And then after that, Rav Hukarshinov Yikrab Hashem Hashem Kel Oilam. We spoke about this last week, right? And Shahayu Al Miskatzim Elav. People would gather around him. Veshein Loyal Divrei Al Devor. They would ask him, "Ayam Odil Lecholecha Ve'Yekav Yidaita." He would explain to every person in accordance with his abilities. He brought people back to the way of truth. So therefore, basically, thousands of people, tens of thousands of people gathered around him. He planted within this important ikar, this important fundamental concept. And he wrote sforim, and he gave them to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, etc., etc. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam says, but when Klai Yisrael went to Mitzrayim, Achocha Yomim Yisrael Mitzrayim, and the Jewish people went to Mitzrayim, because little Moed Maaseim, and once again began to mimic the paganistic ways, V'lavoy Kachavim Kamaisam, right? And he used to and he's been worshiping idols, except for Shevet Levi. So that which Avraham planted in people was almost displaced, uprooted. And they began to make the same pagan mistakes. As a remedy for this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kevich in his name Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch Hashem Yisrael Nachla, Yichtirim B'mitzvah Vodim Derech Avodasoy. Now here there's no reference Moshe Rabbeinu made a war against Avodah Zarah. All the Rambam here says that when Moshe Rabbeinu prophesized, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael, Yichtirim B'mitzvah, he gave them the commandments, Vodim Derech Avodasoy, and he disclosed to them the way of worship. What is the mishpat of v'eschachavim? And that the Ram there continues into the halakhas of v'eschachavim. But in other words, there's no reference at all that Moshe Rabbeinu basically, in other words, in fact, waged war on Avodah Zarah. The Rambam understands that really a part of the chelik of the vua of Moshe Rabbeinu was to complete the mission of Avraham Avinu that was in other words, in the Rambam and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the implication is the Jewish people had a relapse into paganism, and Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to remedy the situation.
Where was Moshe Rabbeinu when he started to kill Avodah Zarah?
Oh, we're going to see this in a while. He's going to write the next line with the Psukim. I just want to say that he's going to bring the next Psukim. As Mizbechasem Titoitzim, Yitzbosir Tishbom, Asherem Tichoisum. In other words, He's going to bring all the psukim in the Torah of the commandment to kill the shemas amim, etc., etc. I'm going to bring this in the parachaftes. But what I wanted to say is that I just wanted to point to two details here. One detail is that here the Rambam is emphasizing the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, is in fact actually looking to destroy Avodah Zarah. In other words, he makes this into a really, in other words, the completion of the mission is to kill them. Number one. Number two, what's very, very interesting, is that in the case of Avraham Avinu, right, because of Avraham Avinu, his understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, at least according to the Rambam, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and also I'm here too, is basically philosophical, conceptual. Avraham Avinu began raising questions, like the Rambam speaks about at the beginning of the parak. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't see, at least here, that in fact Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't see anything in Moshe Rabbeinu, from a conceptual point of view, just merely that he was commanded, right, in fact actually to complete the mission and to wage war on idolatry. Now this is very, very interesting because, in other words, we saw in the Negev theology in Paraklin Beis and other Prokim in the Negev theology that Moshe Rabbeinu reaches the highest level of a negative theological conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says this explicitly, and in fact, actually, the entire Parsha Kisitza, which the Rambam goes into detail, the center, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu. But here, there's no mention of the philosophical, theological conception of Moshe Rabbeinu. All there is here is the fact Moshe Rabbeinu it completes the task of spreading monotheism by destroying, eradicating Avodah Zarah. Now, what does he say over here? So he brings the psukim. So this he brings in Shmois. And he says, for also lechet b'chol derech b'dachem eile hu omer, he brings the pasuk l'selcha b'chukas ha'goy, right? Asher ani m'shalech b'pneichem. By the way, we see clearly the Rambam's, at least the Gersa here, in the Mernavucha, I know exactly, in the manuscript, is Lachel Selcha B'chukas HaGoy. I think my wife's grandfather wants to say that the Rambam had a Gersa Lachel Selcha B'chukas HaGoy and wants to attribute it to a Samaritan text. But we see here in the Mernavucha, the Gersa is clearly Lachel Selcha B'chukas HaGoy. I mean, maybe you could say that this is what was looked up in this passage, but in any case, Yodayata Miloshan HaTeira, Shakavona harishaina shalatera kula lahasi Avodah Zarah. You know from the lashon of the Torah that the first intention of the entire Torah is lahasi Avodah Zarah, to take away idolatry, limchois es ikvoseya v'chola kashabo, right, to wipe out any of its footsteps and anything connected, lerabo zicha, to wipe out his memory, v'chola mevi lemashu mimaseya, anything from his acts like oyv yedun yaseh, etc. Well, the Zamit Bnei Dom is Al Mashu Marseyam, we're not supposed to imitate it in any ways. Al Askama for Kama, Bnei Halicha, Bikvoseyam, and certainly not to go in its ways. And it says in the Torah, right? Ki kol te'evas Hashem asher sonei osu l'Elohim. Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam is saying over here that the kavanah of the Torah is to do away with avodah zarah, to do away with idolatry. And the alert reader will notice, in fact, actually, the Rambam, in the previous chapter, Perach of Zayin, attributed two kavanas of the Torah. If I'm reading from Perach of Zayin, page 516, there the Rambam says, kavanas kol ha-Torah shnei devarim, tikkun ha-nefesh v'tikkun ha-guf. Right? And the Rambam speaks about this, a tikkun ha-nefesh, that a person should come to the proper day, the proper beliefs, and the tikkun ha-guf is what the Rambam attributes to interpersonal relationships and the betterment and perfection of society and midas. Here, the Rambam seems to be saying that the kavanah of the entire Torah is doing away with idolatry, which is something much, much different. Now, the fact is that if you actually look carefully in the Rambam, the language of the Rambam is Yodea Tami Loshan HaTorah Shakavanah HaRishayna Shal HaTorah Kula. So first of all, the Rambam emphasizes, he calls this Kavanah Rishayna, the first Kavanah of the Torah. And in fact, actually, the Rambam actually repeats this Lashon on page 528, towards the end of the Perek, the second line from the bottom. The Rambam once again says, Zoysi HaKavanah HaRishayna, L'chol Michlol HaTorah. This is the first Kavanah of the Torah. Meaning is that the Rambam understood that there's an initial kavanah of the Torah, do away with avodah zarah, but this doesn't represent the final kavanah of the Torah. The final kavanah of the Torah is not eradicating avodah zarah and waging war upon idolatry in the world, but rather bring people to the proper beliefs, the proper philosophical beliefs. So, in other words, it would seem to me that really what the Rambam is saying is that the two kavanahs, the two intentions, which he speaks about in chapter 27, are really sort of like, in other words, I won't call them later kavanas, but intentions, but certainly, in other words, it's a second step. In other words, the initial, what the Torah wants to do is to deal with the avodah zarah. I guess in a world of idolatry, first you deal away with it. After that, the next step is to try to create a new society, right, which is, of course, the tikkun ha-guf, which will make it much easier and create the proper cultural and environment in order that people should come to the proper philosophical beliefs. So, it's interesting is that the Rambam emphasizes here, and he says, Yodea Tami Lashon HaTorah. If you actually look in the text of the Torah itself, you'll see that the first Kavanah, and he emphasizes the first Kavanah, is eradicate idolatry. But of course, as the Rambam, you can't say that's the ultimate Kavanah, the intention of the Torah. The intention of the Torah is to actually bring a person to proper philosophical beliefs, which is not just eradication of idolatry. And that, of course, comes in two steps. First, through a betterment of society, and then, you know, enabling man to reflect upon what is the, you know, the proper theological and philosophical truth, the eyes of the Rambam. Now, the Rambam, it's interesting over here too, which I want to mention is that the Rambam says, the language of Rambam is Yodea Tami Lashon HaTorah. In other words, the Rambam says if you look at the psukim in the Torah, the verses of the Torah, right, it would seem to be that the Kavanah Rishayna is of course eliminating Avodah Zarah, because we have many, many verses and many verses which actually speak about eliminating idolatry. There I'm bringing brought several up to here. He's going to bring more later on the Perek. Now, another point, interesting point to notice, is that in Perek Chav Ches, in chapter 28, the Rambam did understand that the second, in other words, the second kavanah, which means the second intention of bring a person to actually theological truth, actually is also part of a mitzvah of the Torah too. In other words, you shouldn't think that the language of the Torah only suggests eradicating idolatry, and there's no reference whatsoever that man should reach any type of theological or, you know, philosophical truth. The Rambam says in Perek Chav Ches, on page 518 in the Schwartz edition, right? The Rambam says, "Shara des and achonis al kol ha-metzias hazois." The proper beliefs of the Rambam in the second paragraph in chapter 28. Shenachok b'zayunayis kulan aminayim harabim. This is the wisdom that comes after that comes when a person reflects upon them. There was the final tachlis, the final purpose of the Torah, is to bring a person to the proper beliefs. Where Avshar Torah loy kara elayim b'mefulash. Even though the Torah did not explicitly cite these, these beliefs. Kefisha kara el hay. And even though these are the Torah called to the first set of purposes, which means that the personal relationship in society. He called a land but to a colonist. In other words, the Torah called it in like a general matter, Zehu she'omar la'avas Hashem, to love God. Now, in other words, the Rambam understands that the mitzvah of avas Hashem, which he brings in the Sefer Mitzvahs, and also he speaks about it in several places in the Mishnah Torah. So, what's interesting is, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says that what is the mitzvah of avas Hashem? The mitzvah of avas Hashem is basically, says the Rambam, both in Perek Beis Yisrael Torah, and both in Parakut and Uchel Tshuva, that when a person reflects upon the wisdom and upon the wisdom of the creation, that this brings, in other words, this brings about a love of God. In other words, but certainly according to the Rambam, reflection, you know, upon the scientific structure of the world, upon the, you know, the, in other words, the wisdom and scientific, you know, edifice, and the mathematical precision with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that's really called Avas Hashem. Now, the Rambam, but this is not explicit in the Torah. The Avas Hashem, the Rambam learned, is actually only through Yediyah. So what's interesting is that what we have explicitly in the Torah regarding these things, like Rambam says, Yodea Tami Lashon HaTorah, from the Lashon HaTorah, we only have what's called the Kavana B'Shem, the first intention of the Torah, is to eradicate idolatry. What we have in a more amorphous, a more general, illusionary language of the Torah, Avas Hashem, which the Rambam himself interprets in the Mishnah Torah, also in the Sefer Mitzvot too, but when Rambam interprets Mishnah Torah as being these philosophical concepts. So very interesting is that the ultimate tachlis, which the Rambam spoke about in Parak 27, is only alluded to in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, whereas what we see explicit in the Torah, and very much explicitly so, is in fact those verses which are, you would say, these preliminary purpose of the Torah, which is the eradication of Avodah Zarah. I would say that it would seem that the Torah in Avas Hashem, according to the Rambam, is alluding to the fact that, in other words, the process of understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu continues after the tikkun for the time of the Torah Shebichsav, whereas in fact actually the commandments to eradicate idolatry were much more, you know, much more operative in the era when in fact actually you have the specific scriptures. In any case, this is all the Rambam speaking. Now, the fact is that the Rambam goes on and says, "Bikanchikol abizu shabola also b'zerva kol akashibo agarblo omyuchas elea to all of a sudden be over." Now, the Rambam says, the Te'elis, right, the purpose of all these mitzvahs which you come to do away with idolatry are obviously, I mean, their purpose is rather clear. Kikulam bois lachalos b'ois and deyes chulonies ha-masichus adas mikol ha-moyo l'shtei ha-shlemius b'divrei ha-zoyes ha-shem ha-sheh chunchu ha-layim ha-vesinu v'ovis ha-vesinu. Now, first of all, it's very interesting if we examine the words of the Rambam. He says that what is the Te'elis? What's the purpose of eradicating idolatry? In other words, what do I care if there's idolatry in the world? Let me sit and reflect upon a Kaddish Baruch Hu, according to the Rambam. Let me reflect and reach theological truth. Why do I have to, why is it necessary for me to make sure that all the neighbors around me, right, have been somehow uprooted from their idolatrous beliefs? And why do I have to smash their altars and do away with any, you know, remnant of idolatry? So says the Rambam, so in other words, the Rambam has to explain. In other words, the Rambam has to clearly find that he has to make an explanation here. What does eradicating idolatry in this manner have to do with what I mentioned in chapter 27, which was two topics, the person just sit and contemplate and reach the proper truth, the proper theological truth. So the Rambam says, because these deists, these opinions of people, you know, in idolatrous cultures, are masichas asadas. They'll take our minds off Mikol ha-moyel l'shtei ha-shlemiyas b'divrei hazoi yashayim asher chulchu alayim me'aviseidu v'avis ha-viseidu. Says the Rambam, if a person is somehow surrounded, a person is, in other words, is in contact with idolatrous cultures, what they can do is they're going to interfere with a person's ability to come to what is the true purpose of the Torah, which is the intellectual apprehension of God, and which is the final essence of the Torah. So what the Rambam is saying is that it's impossible for a person to actually come to the the ultimate apprehension of, you know, of the idea of God, which is the proper beliefs, which constitute the purpose of the Torah, if there's going to be interference, if there's going to be a surrounding culture, or going to be societies, which in fact are idolatrous. So in other words, what the Rambam is saying is, it was necessary first to destroy idolatry, and then in fact, by that, people will be free and, you know, in a position that they can actually come to the type of theological truth that the Rambam speaks about as being the purpose of the Torah. So, the fact is that this is a little bit, it's interesting, this little bit of what the Rambam speaks about when he speaks about Yemais Mashiach. In Yemais Mashiach, the Rambam speaks about in Perek Tes and in Hilchos Tshuva, that was the purpose of Yemais Mashiach, that the person is living, the Rambam passes through like Shmuel, in Daf Lamed Aleph Beis and Brochas and other places too, that the Mashiach is only going to bring about that the Jewish people will not be under any type of political subjugation. You know, with basically strife and political unrest will cease in the world, the man will be free that he can devote himself to contemplate, divine truth. It's interesting that the Rambam used the same idea same idea here too, namely by eradicating, by declaring war on idolatry, that a person will be able to contemplate and devote himself to pursuing the true, the purpose of the Torah. If a person is surrounded by idolatrous cultures, then he will not be able to devote himself to the Tachlis. So in other words, we see clearly that even though what the Rambam seems to be saying is that even though the Kavanah Rishayna of the Torah eliminate idolatry, the elimination of idolatry is not a purpose unto itself. The elimination of idolatry is only meant to allow people to, you know, be able to devote themselves in an uninterrupted fashion to pursue the proper truth. So clearly the Rambam, in other words, is trying to work out what is clear to him to be the meaning of the verses of the Torah with what he understood to be the ultimate purpose of the Torah is bringing a person to apprehend intellectual truth. Okay, yeah, now, goes on the Rambam. It's interesting, the Rambam says, Asher chunchu aleihem aviseinu v'avos aviseinu, our forefathers and our foreforefathers. I mean, the Rambam here is clearly, which he'll speak about in later chapters, the Rambam clearly is asserting that our forefathers, I think our forefathers who left Mitzrayim, in fact, actually were raised in idolatrous cultures, and this is in fact actually what the Rambam refers to explicitly in Hilchos Avodah Zarah at the end of Halacha Gimel. Okay, now he says, "Be'eva now Yoshua." I'm now on page 525. "Be'eva now Yoshua v'seichem e'olim terach avi Avraham avi Nocho v'yavdu leiv acherim v'zem ha'shomru alav deviya emes v'achra toyu asher yoyilu halacha ma gedulav kena to elah shemachol mitzvah shetchlat v'sano mitayne gedolah v'zoyis v'tasha v'sano el amuna hanachoyne. Now, first of all, the Rambam brings a pasuk, and the Rambam here, I think I mentioned this before, the last time, that we see clearly here that the generation of Avraham Avinu, people were idolaters. In other words, there's no evidence at all in the Chumash that Avraham Avinu was living out Yisrael, living in idolatrous culture. We only know really just from this pasuk. I mean, the midrashim abound, but the Rambam is trying in this parak to stick just with the psukim. Now, the reference here is be'eva now Yashua v'sechem me'olam. So, what I would learn simply is the pasuk seems to be a reference to the generation of Avram Avinu, of Abraham, right? Terach Avi Avram, Avi Nocha, V'yavu Elohim Achelim. The language of the Rambam, Asher Chunchu Aleim Aviseinu V'Avis Aviseinu, seems to be not to really to refer only to the generation of Avram Avinu, but I think refer to the door, the generation of Lev Mitzrayim. At least the Rambam certainly in Hilchos Avodah Zarah seems to indicate that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, left Egypt, they in fact actually were very, very much immersed in idolatrous culture. And this is actually, the Rambam is going to actually say this explicitly and later on in Perek Lamed Beis, where in fact actually he says that it was so, that the Jewish people, when they left Mitzrayim, were so immersed in idolatrous cultures that there was no point for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to actually try to command them to believe directly, right, in the monotheistic faith, but somehow he had to command them with what were formerly idolatrous practices and somehow direct them through these idolatrous practices to a belief in God. So in other words, it's clear in the Rambam later on in Perek Lamed Beis and in other parts too, I mean, it's clear up to here too, that the Jews who left Egypt were in fact were idolaters. So what's interesting is the Rambam, when uses Be'evan now, Yashua Vesechem Eilam, the Rambam is evoking this pasuk not only to refer to the generation of Avinu, but in fact, actually, the generation of Mitzrayim. And it makes sense, because who's saying this? Yoshua is saying this. It says Be'ev HaYadin, maybe HaYadin means when they were the Dor HaMidbar. It was Be'ev HaYadin doesn't necessarily mean, you know, a Choron, but it means on the other side of the Yaldein, which was when Klai saw the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they were in the Midbar. And that, you know, that refers to not only to the generation of Avraham Avinu, but also refers to the Jewish people that left Mitzrayim. Now, here the Rambam makes a very, very interesting switch. Why? Because if we look here in Perek Aleph, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. He says the Jewish people, when they were in Mitzrayim, when they were Egypt, they sunk again into an idolatrous culture. And it says, Kimat kat haya ika sheshot l'avram nekar, in other words, that which Avram Avinu planted within the Jewish people was almost uprooted. V'choizim b'yakob l'tois ha'oyla tos ha'oyla v'tayusa. In other words, the Jewish people almost went back to the mistake of the nations and paganism. Because of this love of Rabbi Avinu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu made Moshe Rabbeinu the Adon HaNaviyim, Rabbi Shel HaNaviyim, and Moshe Rabbeinu came into the Snav of Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch Hashem Yisrael, Anachla, Hichtirin B'mitzvahs. He crowned them with mitzvahs, V'odiyim Derech HaVadosoy, and he showed the Jewish people the way of worshiping God's worship. Now, what's interesting is, up till now, the Rambam is always speaking about that the purpose of Moshe Rabbeinu was to complete the matar, the purpose of Rambam Avinu, of spreading monotheism, and destroy idolatry. However, here, for the first time, comes the Rambam and says, Magadayla im Kain. How great, because obviously we identify Moshe Rabbeinu with the mitzvahs. I mean, what is Moshe Rabbeinu Adon HaNaviyim, if not the mitzvahs? The expression Adon HaNaviyim is used, especially by the Rambam, to indicate that in fact Moshe Rabbeinu, right, ain't Novi Rosh Lachadish Boidova. Novi cannot make up mitzvahs. Everything that they, like the Rambam says in the section of the Vua, the Naviyim can come to chastise people, to, in other words, they can come for didactic purposes, but certainly the mitzvahs come from Torah Tzivul on the Moshe, mitzvahs come from Moshe Rabbeinu. So in other words, where do the mitzvahs fit in? So the Rambam is here making a very interesting gezeirah shava. It's a drasha, it's a leap, extrapolation of the Rambam. It's a brilliant leap. It's done in a very, very almost innocuous fashion. In other words, since we see clearly, says the Rambam, from the lashon of the Torah, that the kavana rishayna, the first kavana of the Torah, is what? Lahasir avodah zarah. That's the first kavana. That we see from the verses of the Torah. The Rambam brings in several verses. However, on the other hand, we also know if that's the first kavanah rishayna, that's the most fundamental purpose of the Torah. On the other hand, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do if that command the mitzvahs? Torah tzivul on Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu commands the mitzvahs. So it follows from that that the purpose of the mitzvahs actually fall into that same that, you know, that same program, namely that the purpose of the mitzvahs is to do away with the avodah zarah, and that's what that's the point the Rambam is making. Magadolim kein, how great then? Hatoelah shebechol mitzvah, how great then is the toelah, the benefit of every mitzvah? Shetechalitz oisanu mitos gadol hazayis, so that should, you know, somehow take us, in other words, somehow remove us from this terrible mistake. In other words, what the Rambam has done through this, I guess, this transit of lore, I'm calling it a gezeira shava, is that the Rambam Mezli has shown us that it's evident in the Chumash that the purpose of the mitzvahs are in fact actually to remove us from the stakes of paganism. That there's a God who created everything as fit to serve him, to love him, to fear him. Not these things that people thought are gods. Now, it's interesting over here is that the Rambam says you only need Ava v'yira. What's the Rambam's Ava Yira? Well, the Rambam has detailed, has detailed a little bit, but he's going to detail further, that idolatrous practices, right, involve, their acts. In other words, idolatry involved all the different types of practices. I mean, the Rambam actually is going to detail all the different types of things that idolatrous did. Says the Rambam, the Chiddush, the novel thing of the Torah, that really to get close to God, really a person, in fact, doesn't really need so much practice as he does need just love and fear of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, are there our mitzvahs? But what are the mitzvahs coming? The mitzvahs are coming, in fact, actually, to just liberate us from thoughts of idolatry, from the mistakes. But really, what's the purpose? The way a person connects with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is through Avir and Yira, through love and through fear, not necessarily doing mitzvahs. Now, you're going to say, oh, this is an incredible thing. How could possibly see that the mitzvahs are not a tachlis? But the Rambam is clearly going l'shitasai. The Rambam at the end of the Mor Nevuchim lists the different types of perfections in order. And, of course, there's physical perfection, there's monetary perfection. The Rambam speaks about ethical perfection, but says the Rambam, the highest type of perfection is intellectual perfection. Intellectual perfection represents, the Rambam is the Rambam Perek Dundalet, the highest perfection represents intellectual perfection. So the Rambam placed in Perek Dundalet, chapter 54, intellectual perfection on a higher level from that of the mitzvahs. So what's interesting is that where do we see in the Torah that somehow intellectual perfection is higher than that of the mitzvahs? Well, the answer is, of course, the Rambam brings the pasuk V'atah Yisrael Ma Hashem Lekha Hashem Neymar Ki'im Liyir Es Hashem Lekha 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 Lekha. Right? In other words, the Rambam says the purpose of all the mitzvahs really Ava. So in other words, why should the mitzvahs be a means and not according to the Rambam, and not in fact actually be a means and not the ends. The answer is because the mitzvahs are coming, really in a certain sense, as the Rambam, to remove from me vestiges of idolatry. Mitzvahs are coming, to save me from idolatrous notions. But the true worship of God is really, says the Rambam, Ava v'yira, love and fear of the Lord, yes, and not more. That corresponds to what the Rambam says in chapter 54, in Perek Dalet, that even though the mitzvahs represent a hierarchy, a level of perfection, the higher perfection is what's called intellectual perfection. Now, what does intellectual have to do with Ava? Well, we already spoke about that. Clearly in chapter, in Perek Chavchaz, the Rambam says that Ava Hashem is a general allusion to the proper beliefs, which is intellectual perfection. So in other words, what the Rambam has done in a, I would say, a stroke of brilliance, is through the psukim of the Torah, he has completely fashioned the entire structure of the Meir HaNevuchim. Namely, that the first purpose of the Torah is in fact eradication of Avodah Zarah. Part and parcel of that is mitzvahs. Ah, mitzvahs are a tachlis? No, because the pasuk says, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu expect of you except li'ava to him? Mitzvahs are the means to the proper perfection and ultimate service of God, which is ava, which is intellectual perfection in the eyes of the Rambam. And therefore, what are the mitzvahs doing? The mitzvahs, ipso facto, as we've learned, are just really a Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of stripping us, of removing us from us, our understandings or our notions of paganism, which we brought when we came out of Mitzrayim. So really, I think that they, so the Rambam knew how to learn Chumash. You know how to learn Chumash. Oh, Hashem. Okay. Now, the Rambam is going to go on in the next second paragraph on 525, and is going to speak in detail about the Sabians. Now, the Rambam doesn't indicate really who these Sabians were, but it appears that the Sabians don't go back to really these, you know, these ancient times, but they probably flourished around the 3rd century. It's interesting is that he quotes what's called the Nabatean Book of Agriculture, Chaklus HaNabatis, which of course the Rambam read in Arabic. I don't think he read it in a original Akkadian language. But in fact, actually, the Rambam, in fact, actually devoted, I mean, seems to have devoted a lot of time in reading about all the practices and goes into detail about all the idolatrous practices. He speaks about, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's not exactly clear to me, and he speaks about different types of things. He speaks about Adam Arishan, a certain type of tree, and the tree starts running. Oh, these incredible things. The Rambam, you know, like for the next few paragraphs, the Rambam just entertains us with all these wild things that he's read about in the Sabbatean, the Nabataean Book of Agriculture. It's interesting, and he speaks about, right? And he just makes fun of them and laughs at them when they speak about the Adabarishan, the Nachash, Eitz Hadas, Tevarah. And he speaks about these are Sipuri Abadim, the make up stories, right? Etc., etc. Now, and then he goes on and he speaks about they wrote books on different types of idolatries, and he says some of them even said that this had to do with Aristotle. The last paragraph of page 527, though, he says, Chas v'shalom, Aristotle would never write a book like that. But it's interesting that why is the Rambam going on and on about the Sabians? I mean, who cares? I mean, the incredible detailing, right? Okay, let me get over here. On page 527, the second paragraph, I'll read it inside. It's interesting, he speaks about a god called Tammuz. It's interesting because the Yerushalmi, the Rabban brings in Chayus El Chabash Chadashim from the Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah that Shemais Chadashim Olu Mibavel, and one of them was Tammuz. Here's Tammuz, here's the real Tammuz, even though it doesn't need to be Tammuz. It's where is it? It's not, whatever. Hey. Yeah. So he says, Ashir l'sipa shesipa al pashas adam v'anachish v'ezad das tevera. The second paragraph of 527. V'atzba alavishas mashlo yo adoyeh l'lvoish. He's am ma'oy ma'oy pen yishtabesh sichacha. You shouldn't read these stories. Be very careful, the Rambam. You might get, it might mess you up. V'yal adatcha shezeh mashom hu dava sh'iro me'oyim la'adam l'uzulas. All these crazy things, you might think they really happened. Ein ze sipo mitziusi b'shem oifen. Says the Rambam, this story is not true in any way. You'll see how stupid, absurd everything that they speak about. With their made up stories. It's clear that they wrote this after the Torah was written. That's before the Torah was written. Chas v'shalom. It's after the Torah became famous and was became available among the nations. They heard the meaning of Maisa Bereishis. We knew Kula Kaputa. That's a Kaputa. Now, what's interesting is, the Rambam, I think the Rambam here is giving a little bit of a you know, in Yiddish you call it a shtach. In other words, the Rambam is actually saying that, you know, you understand my, if you understand my Bereshis literally, you'll come out to be a pagan. That the fool should hear this. They think the other was kodum. In other words, basically, the fact is that if you read the Rambam is saying over here, if you read Maisa Braces literally, you'll end up to being an idiot and a fool and a pagan, and you'll believe in all different types of paganistic theories. In other words, the Rambam, I'm sure this is in the back of the mind of the Rambam, but the Rambam is clearly saying over here is that the Rambam indicated, we spoke about this in creation. Look at hashkafa.circle.com on the last lectures on creation. We spoke about chapter 30 in section 2 of the Berachot Avuchim. And clearly, an intelligent person, according to the Rambam, does not understand the Maisa Bereishis literally. You understand Maisa literally, you're just a pessy, you're a fool, you're an idiot. And only two, you're on the verge of Avodah Zarah, which is basically a creation, a fabrication of the human mind. Remember that. Anyway, so in other words, says the Rambam, and from this, they of course they wrote from a Vadazar, just crossing over the table of the page, and he goes on and on, speaks about it. Okay, and says the Rambam, this is probably, there are more books of Vadazar, right? And that which we have in our hands, right, is only a little bit of much, much, and they had, and what they did, they built altars, says the Rambam, lakiv aleim or kabanos, they brought kabanos or mini oichel, or they put food on the altars. I'm on part 528, likboya chagim, they made holidays, liskanis letfilos, and they gathered to pray, ulamine pulchanis b'mdoshim elo, and all different types, they did all different types of, you know, of ritualistic things in all these temples. They even made temples which are called the temples of cognitive forms. Here the Rambam actually rings a pasuk Haram Harambim, which speaks in the volume about the Avodah Zarah idolatry and Haram Harambim, umakdishim oisan asheres mitzivus matzevus, etc. Said the volume she'achayim she'ata otzi ladas oisan mitoich hasforim she'savti es tsumas dibcha elehem. In other words, what we see over here, very interesting enough, is this what the Rambam is actually leading up to, is that, in fact, these idolaters, right, actually created all different types of rites, altars, places of worship, which in a certain sense have their parallel within the Torah itself. In other words, with the Rambam has not gotten now to the Tamei HaMitzvah, the Tamei HaVodah Zarah, but what the Rambam is in fact actually suggesting, or more than suggesting, is that the entire spectrum of worship, or a good part of worship, which we see, we're commanded on as the Torah, has its lahavdil, chas v'shalom, parallel within paganistic cults, within paganism. And he goes on, he speaks about yomim tovim, he speaks about holidays, he speaks about sacrifices. Either there are kabanos or the mini oichel, which of course we know we have sacrifices not only of animals, different types of oichel, and we says pulchanos and mikdashim, right? And then makadosh asheros and matzevos. In other words, basically, the Rambam is establishing the fact. In other words, the Rambam establishing the fact is that you should know that the basic concepts, like temples and gathering for prayer and sacrifices, are actually things which were the products of paganistic cultures. The Rambam is saying that very, very clear. He's making an entire list. I mean, he mentions Asherah's trees, which appear in Gemaras. He says, Al ha-holem harambim. What's haram harambim? On high hills. I mean, in other words, the practice was not only to make temples on high hills. So in other words, what the Rambam is basically saying is, you have to understand that there was an entire pagan culture which had many forms of worship, and this will be important in the Rambam's understanding of the mitzvahs, which in a certain sense made use at least of the outer surah, the form of these worships, to direct man's worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to direct man away from idolatry and towards the proper worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God. So in other words, what I think the Rambam is coming to tell us is that this entire, in other words, how did this all begin? It began with, in fact, actually, a pagan culture, and developed into an entire ritualistic religion. All the elements which we see that the Torah will command us, right, in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. In other words, what the Rambam is saying here is that we have an entire culture which in fact made use of the type of rituals which we can associate with the mitzvahs themselves and committed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, says the Rambam, Hikatoi sam deyes v'oisem maisem yishar godl ma'oid halavonis tamim mitzvahs. Understanding of Avodah Zarah, understanding their ideas, analyzing their acts, is a shar gadol ma'oid, is a great gate to understand the reason for the mitzvahs. In other words, if I fundamentally understand idolatry, then I'll fundamentally understand the reason for the mitzvahs. Ki shayresh terasenu kula v'tzira asher olam yisaveves, hi mechias oisen deyes ben alavavais, the root of the entire Torah, and the hinge upon which everything revolves is the destruction of these deis from our hearts, or mechias oisen ikvus ben amitzias, and to eradicate them from existence, kedenim choisem ben alavavais, in order to work from the heart. So what? Now here the Rambam is saying an incredible thing. Sheirish terasenu kula. The sheirish, the source, the root of the entire Torah is, in fact, so it's right, understanding paganism, understanding the ritualistic rites of the pagan religion is vital to understanding the reasons for the mitzvahs, because the sheirish, the source, the root of the Torah is eradicating these ideas from our hearts. So in a sweeping statement, what the Rambam is saying here is that not only is the eradication of idolatry, the Kavanah Rishayna, the first intention of the Torah commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu, but in fact understanding all the mitzvahs is part of this, because the mitzvahs really are an extension of the overall root of Judaism, which is the eradication of idolatry. And we can only understand the mitzvahs, we understand exactly the actual detailed practices of the pagan religions who exist at the time of the Chumash. And coin the pasuk penya to levavchem v'sadim v'atem lohim achrim v'shtachem v'simlohem, the Rabbi here brings more psukim. Right? Asher levavo poina hayom yim Hashem lokem lechaz lavoy lehei agoyim ma'eim. In other words, the Rambam is chem to totsi, bata shom nabakom aho. The Rambam once again, now, in fact, quotes more verses, saying that we're commanded to get this out of our hearts. And that's the purpose of the mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs, in fact, are based upon the paganistic rites, understanding them, right? In order to eliminate, to strip us, you know, mentally and psychologically, of idolatrous beliefs and feelings. Now, says the Rambam, Shtei Matoras Eilu Choizes Bekam Mekoymes. In other words, these two Matoras, which is destruction of the Zorah and wiping out memory, recur in many places. Zoisi Kavana Rishayna Nechom Bechlater. Once again, the Rambam returns to the Kavana Rishayna, the first intention, the initial intention of the Torah, which I spoke about previously. Now, for the first time, the Rambam brings a Chazal. Up till now, the Rambam brings a Pesukim. But here comes the Rambam brings a Chazal, a Sifri. Kamoshi, the Anu, like Chachamim, have told us, the Perusham, Hanimsa B'Mesiris. Interesting, the Rambam says they have a Perush, which is known through Mesira, known through tradition. How many times did the Rambam say a Perush known through tradition? Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeichem B'Yad Moshe, which God is powerful, has commanded us in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. Halamadata, Heim Amru, Shekol HaMeidah B'Vedazara, whoever acknowledges idolatry, kaifa bechalatera kula, reject the entire Torah. Which means the entire Torah is basically eradication of Vedazara. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam said above, Sheirish terasenu kula, the root of the entire Torah, which means really the root of all the mitzvahs, is basically understanding, basically the elimination of paganism, and that constitutes the reasons for the mitzvahs. Okay, we've come to the end of the parak, the end of the chapter. The Rambam hasn't gone into detail what the reasons for the mitzvahs are, but the Rambam is really, in fact, what the Rambam has done in chapter 29 is convinced us from a brilliant reading of the verses of basically his point. That in fact, the eradication of idolatry is synonymous with the commandments, and this is only an intermediary to the true worship of God, which is Ava and Yira by itself. This is ultimately the theme of the entire Menavuchim, as he states in the final chapter, chapter 54. The Rambam has done this brilliantly with Pesukim, and he's even gotten a haskam at the end from Chazal, the very, very last pasuk, okay? This actually is going to bring us very much to actually the meat and the heart of the Tamei HaMitzvahs. There'll be small little tuprakim, which actually sometimes you just masir das. The smaller chapter in the Mar Nevuchim sometimes sort of like are diversions. But the fact is that chapter 32 will be the central chapter where the Rambam is going to reveal to us this incredible understanding of the Tamei HaMitzvahs, which I believe, in fact, actually has no precedent in Jewish thinking before, and probably no one ever thought like that afterwards either. Okay? Anyway, from the undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Yirah Kodesh, until the next time, Kol Tov.